I want to continue our study of spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12. We have studied several of the gifts by this hour, and I hope that many of you have already discovered your spiritual gift. And while you probably, many of you, have been exercising your spiritual gift before you ever knew what it was and had ever called it by its rightful name, I would suppose that hopefully by understanding your gift a little better, that you have been able to sharpen your skills and put it into practice. I want to remind you, I haven't said it in a good while, that we're not studying spiritual gifts simply because we want to instruct your heart or your mind. It is our desire to try to help you to understand the way God has put the body of Christ together and the way that He wants it to operate. And I just have to believe that if we'll function in the mode of spiritual gifts and we'll operate in them as God has placed them in the body, that our church will be more effective in its ministry and its ability to communicate the gospel. And that's why we have spent this time and will continue for several more weeks to study spiritual gifts. Tonight we want to look at the spiritual gifts, plural, of service and helps. And you'll see in a moment as I define this gift that it is really one which with a very, very slight and almost insignificant nuance of change between the two gifts. I really just think you ought to think of them in the idea, concept of being one singular spiritual gift. Paul in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 7 identifies this gift, and I use it simply to get us started. He says that if one has the gift of service, then he ought to use it in his serving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, you need not turn there, but the gift is identified by the use of the word which is translated helps. Now these two gifts are gifts that are synonymous with one another in my own mind, and I want to say to you at the beginning that they are spiritual gifts that I think are most necessary in the life of the church, and I probably rank them alongside the spiritual gift of teaching as being one of those gifts that is probably most widespread in the life of the church. I think when God began to sprinkle the gifts in the ministry and the life of the family of God, that He did overabundantly give to many different people in the body of Christ this particular gift, the gift of service and the gift of helps. I also believe that this is one of the gifts that most often is deprecated among the family. That is, if a person has the gift of service or helps, that they most often are not seen to be very important to the body. We ignore them. They're not the kind of people usually that are out front, that are drawing the attention, that are getting people to look at them. But they are people who serve on the underneath side of the body. They're not seen very often. They're sort of like the toes of the body. They are hidden away, and yet they are vitally important to the body being able to minister adequately and to be able to serve in such a way as to touch many people's lives with the gospel. Because they are the people in the life of the church that are actively putting into the hands and the feet kind of service of ministering to people in the body and outside of the body. Now, as I have done on every occasion, I want to define this gift, and it's a very short definition, but it's one you need to get down. Here's the way I've defined it. It is the special ability to render personal service to another in love. It is the ability to render personal service to another in love. Now, I think that definition is very important because it is the idea undergirding the concept of serving another person, but it is also undergirded by the concept of serving that other person from an attitude and from a mindset of love. You see, a person that has the gift of service is never one who has to be browbeat into serving somebody else. And there's someone who has the ability to serve someone else and rarely ever notices when somebody doesn't thank them for it. A person with a gift of service of helps or helps is one who is actively involved in touching other people's lives in doing things for them that the other person is not readily desiring or asking for help. They just move in and do it. It is something that meets a need. It is something that responds to somebody's need in their life. But rarely are these people ever noticed the way they ought to be in the body. Rarely are they ever thanked to the degree they ought to be thanked. And yet they are people who do it not because they're looking for somebody to to give them accolades, but simply because they love people and they want to be of service to them. Now, I'll try to show you examples and share with you examples out of my own life of people who have ministered through this particular spiritual gift in a moment. But I want us to look at this gift in its biblical background. There are two words that are used in the New Testament to describe this spiritual gift. The first one is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. It is the word in the Greek antilambano, and it means this. It means to seize something in front of you for the purpose of helping. When you divide these gifts into service and helps, and I have already said I doubt you can do that, if I were to do so, I would say that one who has the gift of helps is one who sort of stumbles into it, not one who takes an active responsibility to see a need and to grasp it and to take that need and to do something about it. One who has the gift of helps is normally one, if you're going to divide them, and I really don't think you can, but if you must divide them, I would say that probably the one who has the gift of helps is one who is more passive, and the one who has the gift of service is the one that is more demonstrative in meeting needs. I say that from the background of the definition of these words. One who has the gift of helps sees something in front of him or her and sees it as a need, sees it as something that needs to be done, and they do it. They just pick it up, seize it, and walk off and see to it that it is accomplished. The second word that is used in the New Testament, the one that is used in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, is the word that we are very familiar with, a Greek word that has been brought over into our English language. It is the word diakonia, or diakonos. We get our word deacon from it. It means, in its lowest and basest meaning, it means one who waits on tables. The idea of being able to come to aid or to support of someone else or to do personal service for them. And so if one has the gift of service, they are one who has a gift that relates itself to the idea of ministering to other people. Now, I'm going to talk in a moment in practical application how this works it out in the life of the church as I see it related to the ministry of a deacon. But I'll just skip on over it and move on to some biblical examples. Certainly, when you look at the office of deacon, you will see to it that it is a gift that relates itself to this particular gift. When God calls a deacon out, I am convinced that when God calls a deacon out, he may have other things in his gift mix, but a deacon who is called and set aside and ordained in the church is one who has this as one of his spiritual gifts. Now, I just believe that because of the ministry of a deacon as it is taught in the New Testament. I believe it because of the relationship to word meaning as I have already shown. I just believe because of the impact of that ministry in the church that if one is called out to be a deacon, this may not be their primary gift. It may be a secondary part of their gift mix. But nonetheless, a deacon is one who has this particular gift as a part of their mix in the life of the church. As I've gotten to know our deacons, I've seen over and over in their lives that they are men who are desirous of service. I've said it to them. I want to say it to you as a church family. I have never found a group of deacons. Now, I'm not just wanting to stay here and brag on. I mean this from all of my heart. I have never found a group of deacons in any church I have pastored that exemplify to me what this particular gift is all about and what the office of deacon is supposed to be in the life of the church as the men in this church. Amen? Listen, they need some bragging on. Let's say it again. Amen? Well, guys, they believe in you about like they do me. Let's face it. Now, I say that even after getting a turkey, a live turkey. I really believe that. Our men are desirous of service. They are not a setting, I like to use that term, setting, S-E-T-T-I-N-G. They're not a setting board nor a sitting board. They're not even B-O-R-E-D. They are not a B-O-A-R-D either. They are men who desire to serve. And I'm thankful for that. I just praise God for men like that. You just can't know what that means to a pastor to have men like that serving in the office of deacon. And I think we as a church are fortunate. And we ought to brag on them. We ought to undergird them. We ought to pray for them. And it is one of those ways in which this gift is exercised. When you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, you find the office of a deacon outline. And in that passage, you see how readily the relationship of ministry is to the requirements of that particular gift in the body of the church. And when you turn to Acts chapter 6 and you see what is known by scholars almost universally as the first group of deacons to be ordained, you will find again that this gift of service or helps is the gift that is exercised by those men because they were busy taking care, serving, ministering to the needs of the widows in order that they may be cared for. That's what the office of deacon is all about. That is where you can see this gift exercised. It is where you can drive down a stake and say, there's a person that has this gift and exercises it in the life of the church. But I also think one of the most beautiful pictures of the gift of service to be seen is found in the book of Acts. And I want you to turn to this particular example of this gift. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm talking fast, so stay with me. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. There is the description of a lady by the name of Tabitha. She is also known by the title Dorcas. I like the word Tabitha because my former minister of music's little girl literally was known, was almost dead. I mean, she was not supposed to be here, and she was brought back to life, and so they named her Tabitha out of this passage. And so it's sort of a special passage to me. But this lady Tabitha is one who exercises the gift of service as beautifully as anyone to be found in the New Testament. It says, now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Now, a person with a gift of service is one you just can't shut down. I mean, they're the kind of person that will just keep on keeping on when everybody else says, whoa, this person just keeps going. It's in their blood, it's in their heart, it's in their spiritual dimension. They have been spiritually born that way. And so they exercise their gift continually. And that's what Dorcas did. It came about at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, do not delay, come to us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him weeping. Now listen to this. As Peter went into the room where Tabitha had died, all the widows were standing around. And they were weeping. But here's why. They were all showing all the tunics and the garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. You see, Dorcas was the kind of woman who saw a need and met it. She was the kind of lady that didn't spend any nonsense time worrying about whether she could motivate anybody else. She saw a need and she went to meet that need. She exercised her gift over and over again. And as this great entourage of people stood around her bedside as she lay there dead, they were weeping and wailing and they were saying, this is what Dorcas has done for us. This was the kind of woman she was. She was not the kind that spoke in the assembly. She was not one that was noted for her great eloquence. She was not one noted for her great ability in many other areas. But when you see this lady Dorcas, whenever you look at the tunics that she made for us, this is the kind of woman she was. Well, I'm going to tell you, we need a whole heap of slopping around of that kind of stuff in the church today. People who see a need and say, that's a need that needs to be met. I'm not going to wait for somebody to tell me it needs to be met. I'm just going to do it. That's the way Dorcas was. I'm reminded over and over again that when somebody has this gift, they don't wait to ask questions. More than likely, they just go and do it. One preacher told about a committee meeting. Committees need a lot of people with the gift of service on them, honestly. Now, you need the brains of the operation from the standpoint, that doesn't mean somebody with service doesn't have brains, but you need somebody who has the gift of administration or leadership to move the committee along and to get a committee organized and to get it functioning properly. But you better have some folks with the gift of service or it probably will never get anywhere. And this pastor told me about an occasion in his church when he was busy in a committee meeting and they were trying to decide in a committee meeting how to take care of somebody who had a need. They were needing to buy groceries for this person, trying to provide for that family so that that family could have food on the table. And as the story goes, they were all sitting around trying to decide, well, will we spend $20 for groceries or will we spend $25? Will we spend $30 or will we spend $35? It sounded like a church business meeting I was in on one occasion where we spent literally 2.5 hours trying to decide whether to pay the song leader $50 or $75 or $100 or $70. It was the most ridiculous onslaught of parliamentary procedure I'd ever seen. And he said in this committee meeting, they just continually were discussing, arguing, trying to decide how much they were going to provide in monies to take care of this family that was in need. He said the problem was nobody noticed little Miss Jones slip out of the meeting. And they were in there discussing, and you know, about an hour later, little Miss Jones came back into the meeting with two big sacks of groceries in her arms and plopped them down on the table, and she says, you can discuss all day how much you want to pay for groceries, but there they are, let's go give them. You see, she had the gift of service. She was not concerned in worrying about how much we ought to pay and how much was in the treasury. She had the gift of service. There was a need that was there. It was one that needed to be met. And she just said, let's meet it. And she took the bull by the horns and did it. I'm always amazed at people in the life of the church who stand back, see all kinds of things that need to be done, and yet they're waiting for somebody to ask them to do it. Let me tell you something, friend. If you have the gift of service, and if you're a member of this church and you're a part of this body, don't wait for anybody to ask you to do anything that needs to be done, that is legitimate, that you can see, and you have the ability to do it. Just get it done. I'll tell you, there's a real need in the life of all of our churches to care for our facilities and our buildings, and some of you with the gift of service need to just be busy going about cleaning up. Why, our vice chairman of deacon has that gift. The gift of cleaning up. Some of you won't get that, the rest of you will. It's the gift of service. And we need some folks like that. Don't wait to ask whether the paper that's on the floor needs to be picked up. Just pick it up and put it in a trash can. If you find a need of this facility that needs to be met and you're capable of doing it, do it. You know, God has gifted you. He's given you some abilities. And you have the instilling in your heart and the call of God and the gift of God. And if you have the gift of service, be busy about it. Do it. Exercise it. And take care of the needs around you. Some of you men have the gift of service. You do well to work with your hands. You have the ability. I'm telling you, I have got two left hands. And I'm right-handed. You know what that means? It means if I go to drive a nail, I'll sure enough hit both thumbs. Now, that's hard to do when you're hammering like this, but I'll do it. I mean, I don't have that ability. That's not one of my gifts, but some of you do. And there are some people in the life of this church, some widows who need help being able to take care of their home. And some of you have that ability. They don't have the money to pay for it, but you have that spiritual gift. Then you ought to be exercising it. You say, I can't teach a Sunday school class. You don't have to teach a Sunday school class. You say, I can't get up and preach. Praise God, you don't need to preach. You say, I don't have the gift of giving. I wish I could give hundreds of dollars to the life of the church, but I don't have that gift. Thank God you don't have it. But if you have the gift of service, you can do something to the glory of God and to the ministry of some dear, sweet people in the life of this church, and you can do it because you can work with your hands. You can meet a need in their life, and it'll be to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when you do it. And there are a whole lot of you need to get to doing that. I'm even going to go a step further. I know we live in a busy society, and I know that we are always, you know, at some times, in fact, most of the time, it's a whole lot easier to just pay out money than it is to get somebody else to do it than to take the time to do it yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. There are some projects around this church that need to be done, and some of you have the ability to do it, and you are gifted with this spiritual gift. And you need to just take the bull by the horns and get involved in it. There are some work projects that we need taken care of, and some of you who don't have the gifts to exercise in other areas have the gift of service, and you need to exercise that gift in taking care of some of these projects. And you'd save your church family a lot of money, and you would get the joy of knowing that you have contributed to the body because you have exercised your spiritual gift. And we need some of that in our family. You know, I think there was something good about, and I've done it, I'm going to tell you what, I exercised this gift whether I had it or not. Paul and I have cleaned toilets in the church, and we have taken care of the sweeping of the floors, and we've stayed up all night, nights, waxing the floors of the church, because nobody else in the church family gave a rip, just quite honestly, about whether God's house looked nice or not. And in my heart, I knew God's house ought to be the most beautiful building in the town. Now, I'm not bragging on us. I'm simply using that as an example. Some of you have that gift. And you need to exercise it in the body of Christ to the glory of Christ, because He has implanted it in your life. So when you see a need, seize it. And demonstrate the exercising of the gift within you that God has placed there, and use your gift to serve others. And if you got that gift, we need it used. Exercise it. Little doubt that Jesus is the prime example of the exercising of this gift, and what a beautiful gift it is. I want to give you another example out of my life, and you're going to laugh about it. You're going to probably say, I don't know if it was a real exercise in the gift or not. But there was this little lady in my last church. In fact, I sort of spoiled her a lot, but she spoiled me a whole lot more. She had the gift of service. Let me tell you how she exercised it. Now, I'm hoping some of you will pick up on this and get the clue, okay? This little lady in my last church, she's 80 years old, but she had the gift of service. Couldn't teach a Sunday school class, couldn't do a lot of other things, but here's what she did. Somehow she had an extrasensory perception, spiritual perception, of what I needed in my life. She knew those times whenever I was dragging, those times when I needed a little bit of lift, those times when I needed somebody to just sort of stroke me a little bit. And she had a marvelous gift. She made the best apple pies I ever put in my mouth. Now, you hear that, ladies? Now, this is an example about the gift of service. Some of you are getting off track. I can just tell. Seriously, she knew whenever I needed somebody to just give me a stroke and make me feel a little better. And she had that gift, and she'd call me up and say, Preacher, drop by the house today. I got an apple pie for you. Boy, did I love that gift. Now, some of you need to get that gift. I mean, need to know that you've... Well, not the apple pie gift, ladies. That'd be all right, too. That's just an example. But I'm seriously saying to you, she had that gift. She used it, and she used it to help her preacher, to encourage him and to say to him, you know, I love you. And preachers need that now and then. But I'll tell you something, there are a whole lot of other people need it. Some of you have the gift. You are good with your hands. Some of you ladies are very fine cooks. And there are some lonely people out there who, if you would take the time to bake a pie or to bake cookies and just take it by and give it to them, what an encouragement it would be to them. Now, I'm serious with you. That is a gift that you could exercise. And what a contribution to those people's lives. What an absolutely marvelous thing to do to them. Some of our elderly people who live alone, they're not going to cook big meals, and they're not going to cook a lot of those other niceties because they live alone, and it just doesn't taste as good by themselves. But I'll tell you what, you bake them a pie, you bake them some cookies, some brownies, you take it by their house, you take the time to sit down with them and eat a bite with them, and what a joy and what a lift to their spirit you would bring. That's the exercising the gift of service. And there are a lot of people in our church, a lot of people in this ministry, oh, how they need somebody who will serve them. Serve them. There are some people in the life of our church right now, in our homebound ministry, who are taking out tape recorders that Brother Frank Venable has taped the Sunday school lessons on, and I've spoken a few words, and probably some music is recorded on it, and they're taking those into the homes, and they're spending some time listening to that tape with them, and spending some time talking with them, and encouraging some of our elderly people. And really what they're doing is exercising the gift of service. What a marvelous thing. You say, I can't do anything in the church. You say, I don't have one of those gifts. I can't get up and sing a song, preach a sermon, teach a class. Friend, you don't have to do that. And to the glory and the honor of Christ and to the upbuilding of the body, you can be one of the most effective ministers in the life of the church if you will just take the gift that God has placed in your hands and use it in ministering to other people, serving people personally in love. Wow! What a tremendous gift. Well, it's a gift that ought to be exercised by deacons. It is a gift that can be exercised on committees. It is a gift that can be exercised in missions, and certainly a gift that can be exercised in volunteer ministry work in the life of the church and to people outside of the church. I've got to close, and I'll close with these tendencies. You listen to them. One who has the gift of service more than likely has one or many of these tendencies. Number one, they have an alertness to detect and meet practical needs. They're not theorists. They're not pie in the sky. They just know needs. They see them. They are alerted to them. And they move to meet those needs. Secondly, they desire to meet needs quickly. They are frustrated by long-range plans. You don't want them on long-range planning committees. They don't care about long-range. What they see is a need that needs to be met right then, and they move to do it. Thirdly, they have a willingness to use personal funds to avoid delays. And I think herein lies a very serious defect if not taken and used properly. You remember a few Sundays ago I said to you that sometimes we frustrate the will of God and the plan of God whenever we just go to meet somebody's need without ever asking God, do you want it met? God may be trying to teach someone something by putting them in a position where they've got to pray through something, and if you just go barging in without having God's leadership and God's direction in your life, you may be fouling God's plan up, so don't do that. And I think also that as we meet needs, we ought to be meeting them through the life of our church, and therefore we ought to be exercising it and using it properly. Kids, if you'll hang on, I'll be through in just a minute. So I think it is one that needs to be used and exercised through the ministry and the life of the church, and not just simply moving out to meet needs. Next, it is a person who has this gift is persistent to see that the task is done right. Somebody who has the gift of service is not slipshod in the exercising of their spiritual gift. They just want to see it done, and they want it done right. They're not satisfied with a second-rate job. Next, they have the tendency to get over-involved. They have trouble saying no. Some of you have that gift, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's hard when you see a need to not just go ahead and meet it. It's hard for you to just put the woes on. Difficult for you to say, no, I just can't take on one more project. They have difficulty doing that. They rarely seek or desire public recognition for service. They have great difficulty accepting things. I closed by sharing with you about a neighbor of mine back in Jackson. They were sweet, precious Methodist people. And they were the kind of people that were always seeing needs you had and meeting, and you never had to ask them to do it. They just did it. And yet they had a difficult time allowing you to respond to their needs and be able to reciprocate, because particularly the wife had this particular spiritual gift. And when you find a person who has the gift of service, when you try to say thank you, they don't know how to accept it many times. And whenever you find a person with this gift and you try to reciprocate the good they have done, they have difficulty allowing you to do that. And let me tell you why. You see, when a person with the gift of service serves you, ministers to you, does something in your behalf, they do it because they love you. They're not doing it because they feel obligated. They're not doing it because they have to. They are doing it simply because they love you. You know, as I understand what love is self-giving. Love gives. Love gives. Even without desiring anybody to give in return. Now, I think that's what that gift is all about. I think that's what it means. And I think that's why they have difficulty accepting it. And many times the best thing you can do to a person who has this gift and exercises it in relationship to you is just simply to say, thank you. And don't try to pay them back, because you'll ruin all the joy in their life. You'll sap all the fun because they're simply doing what God's gifted them to do. I think you can tell by what I've said tonight about this spiritual gift that it's one of the greatest needs in the life of the church. And I think you can understand why I believe God has given it liberally in the life of every church. Because, oh, how we need those Indians who will follow the chiefs and who will serve to the glory of Christ. Well, it's my prayer tonight. God has spoken to you through the singing of the songs, through the preaching of the Word. And that if you've come to that point in your spiritual journey where you need to find Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give an invitation. It's an invitation to you to come, step out and receive Christ in your life. Invite Him to come into you and to change you and to make you all that He wants you to be. And God's calling some of you tonight to do just that. Others of you He's calling to put your life in the ministry of this church, saying that He wants you to be involved in this local New Testament body to serve Him to His honor and to His glory. And I'm going to ask you to do that. We're going to close with this time of invitation. But it's an invitation for you to respond to the call of God in your life tonight.